Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
In this edition of the Best of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, our football history headlines for December 28th, we discuss the first Hail Mary pass and the greatest game ever played, as well as many more Hall of Fame legendary stories that happened on this day in history, all coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen for this Best of the Pigskin Dispatch, December 28th. We're on a little bit of a hiatus, but we're bringing you some of our best programs. And this one pertains to the history of December 28th, the day that this releases. We recorded this last year in 2020. And boy, is this an important day in football history, because some great plays that are so iconic and that people remember long after even this program, because they've been going on for years. But just some great events that we want to share with you. So here it is. And as we told you at the beginning, we have some truly great and remarkable events in football history that we're going to cover today on these December 28th football history headlines. So let's get right at it with one of them. And it happened on December 28th, 1905, as the representatives of 62 colleges and universities met to appoint a rules committee for the intercollegiate football per the Library of Congress's story. President Theodore Roosevelt requested schools to meet to save the game from being banned due to deaths and severe injuries that occurred during the 1904 and 1905 seasons. The meeting ended with the formation of an Interscholastic Athletic Association of the United States, later to become known as the NCAA in 1910. December 28, 1946, the original Baltimore Colts franchise was formed in the All-American Football Conference, or AAFC as it's more commonly called. The Colts team, along with the Browns and the 49ers, were absorbed into the NFL in 1950 when the AAFC dissolved. The first season in the NFL was not a good one for Baltimore, and the team disbanded, according to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, right after the 1950 season ended. The city of Baltimore received another chance to resurrect the Colts when NFL Commissioner Burt Bell challenged the folks in the city that if they sold 15,000 or more season tickets in about 6 weeks, that they could adopt the recently discontinued Dallas Texans franchise. The Maryland city accomplished the feat in just 4 weeks, and on January 23, 1953, the Baltimore Colts franchise rose again under the ownership of Carol Rosenblum. In 1958, they were the champs of the league. In 1984, in the cover of night, the team picked up and moved to Indianapolis, where they still call home to this day. December 28, 1947, at Comiskey Park in Chicago, the 1947 NFL Championship game is played between the Philadelphia Eagles, victors of the Eastern Division, and the Western Division winners of the Chicago Cardinals, per a story on a Bleacher Report. The Cardinals jumped out to an early lead after Charlie Trippi punched in a score, followed just a bit later by a Chicago teammate Elmer Angsman running in another touchdown. Steve Van Buren recorded one of the touchdowns for the Eagles shortly before halftime. The teams then exchanged touchdowns in the third quarter, setting up a dramatic finish in the final stanza. Angsman ran in another score in the fourth, but Philly cut the lead to just one score after the Eagles crossed the goal line stripe on a one-yard plunge by Kraft. The game was a stalemate from there, as the Chicago Cardinals went on to beat Philadelphia 28-21 to secure the Cardinals' only title game victory. And oh yes, we have more NFL championships to talk about for this December 28th, and the next one happened in 1952 at Cleveland Municipal Stadium. The 1952 NFL Championship game was played between the Detroit Lions and the Cleveland Browns. Remarkably, this was the third appearance of the Browns in the title game, and just their third season in the league, per a story on Mesa.Marmot.org website. If you're keeping track of posts from the past few weeks, this would be the first of three consecutive years that these two teams would vie for the championship. The stars of the Lions, quarterback Bobby Lane and running back Doak Walker, each ran in a score to put the team from the Motor City up early. It would be the difference in a game, as the Baltimore defense pretty much shut down Cleveland's strong offense led by quarterback Otto Graham. The Detroit Lions outlasted the Cleveland Browns that day, 17-7, to win the NFL title. Now let's take a quick break from our headlines, and let me remind you, you can learn more about gridiron history on our website, pigskindispatch.com. And you can contact me, Darren Hayes, at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Speaking of hearing from someone who's here, is one of my podcasting partners from the sportshistorynetwork.com that has a message just for you.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck, because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
We told you we'd have NFL championship games today, and this one is deemed as the greatest game ever played. Yes, December 28, 1958, at Yankee Stadium in the Bronx, New York. The greatest game ever played was what the 1958 NFL championship game was called by reporters after the game. The New York Giants and the Baltimore Colts earned their chance to play each other for the title of world champions. This game could very well be the greatest game ever, as there were 17 future members of the Pro Football Hall of Fame that were involved in the contest. This game and its story may have been the biggest public relations boost the league had ever seen. The popularity of the professional level of the gridiron can look at this championship as the true watershed moment when finally they were gaining footing against the popularity of the college game. In the game, suspense occurred late as the national audience lost broadcast when somebody bumped a cable, creating a loss of signal by the NBC network. Minutes later, the broadcast was restored as Johnny Unitas led his Colts teammates onto the field with just minutes left to play and trailing by three. Facing a 3rd and 10 from their own 14-yard line, Unitas completed a pass to Lenny Moore for an 11-yard gain and a new set of downs to jumpstart the Colts drive. A series of Unitas to Raymond Berry connections set up a 20-yard field goal attempt for Colts kicker Steve Myra with just 7 seconds remaining. The boot was up, and it was good, and it sent the game into overtime. The Giants won the toss, but with a 3-and-out, gave the Colts the ball back on their own 20-yard line after a punt. Unitas and company were hot, and they drove the field, capping it off with an Allen Amici 1-yard dive into the end zone. The Baltimore Colts won the 26th NFL Championship 23-17 over the New York Football Giants, and it was their first ever sudden-death overtime game in NFL history. December 28, 1975, at the Metropolitan Stadium in Minnesota, the original Hail Mary play occurred. The Star Tribune tells the tale well. In the waning minutes of the heavily favored Vikings scored on what appeared to be a come-from-behind touchdown win on a Brent McClanahan 1-yard plunge to go up 14-10. Dallas got the ball back but was facing a 4th and 16 after Staubach had fallen on a bad snap from center for a 6-yard loss. From the shotgun formation, Roger the Dodger connected with Drew Pearson, who made a jumping catch at the 50-yard line near the sideline. The table was set. As there was a mere 32 seconds left in the NFC divisional playoff game, Roger Staubach dropped back and let loose the legendary 50-yard winning touchdown pass to Drew Pearson, who with a slight nudge of the Viking defender caught the pass to advance down the sideline to give the Cowboys a 17-14 victory and propel them into the NFC championship game. December 28, 2008, at Lambeau Field in Wisconsin, the Detroit Lions reached rock bottom and became the first team in NFL history to go winless in a 16-game regular season format. The 31-21 loss to the Green Bay Packers was the game played on this day that gave the Lions the dubious record of 0-16. December 28, 2019, at the Fiesta Bowl, which was the BCS College Football Playoff semifinal, number 3 Clemson knocked off number 2 Ohio State 29-23 for the right to play for the national championship. Meanwhile, at the Peach Bowl, the other 2019 College Football Playoff semifinal occurred as number 1 LSU embarrassed number 4 Oklahoma 63-28 to advance to meet Clemson in the title game. We also have some great Hall of Fame birthdays to discuss on this December 28th, and the first one took place at the end of the 19th century on December 28th, 1894, at Indian Orchard, Massachusetts. Ed Healy, the end that played for the both Dartmouth and Holy Cross teams, was born. According to the footballfoundation.org, Ed was the only boy of nine children on a farm near Springfield, Massachusetts, and this may have led to his powerful, well-tuned physique that made him a dominant line player. Ed Healy secured a spot in the College Football Hall of Fame in 1974. Ed played professional football with Rock Island and later with Chicago and earned All-Pro honors five times in his eight seasons as a converted tackle. George Halas, who both played and coached Ed, called him the most versatile tackle ever. The Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined Ed Healy in 1964. December 28, 1920, at La Ceiba, Honduras, supersonic Steve Van Buren of LSU was born. The great halfback was the number one pick in the 1944 draft by the Philadelphia Eagles. Steve made the all-NFL team in six straight seasons, and he also won the NFL rushing title in four different years. Van Buren tallied the lone score in a 1947 NFL championship game to give Philly the 7-0 victory over the Chicago Cardinals. The next year in the title game, he established a championship game record when he trotted 196 yards in the contest against the LA Rams in a 14-0 title win. The Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrines Steve Van Buren in the year 1965. December 28, 1935, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Oklahoma Sooners halfback Clendon Thomas celebrated his birth. In 1955 and 1956, Thomas lived out his childhood dreams as he and the Sooners went undefeated and won consecutive national championships. They had a streak of 47 straight games won in a row, as has never been matched by any other team in Division I football history. Clendon's 18 touchdowns in 1956 led the nation. The NFF recognized Clendon Thomas as one of the greats of the gridiron by selecting him into the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 2011. Now we have an assignment for you. Make sure you hit that subscribe button on your podcast player or email us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com and make sure you get on our daily email list to get the football history headlines and this podcast delivered to your email inbox every day. You can also check us out on the sportshistorynetwork.com where there's other great sports history podcasts that you can enjoy besides the Pigskin Dispatch. And tomorrow's edition of the December 29th football history headlines, we're going to talk about multiple NFL championship games that were played. Tom Brady and Marvin Harrison each set NFL records on the day, and a major television network deal is reached with the NFL. It's all coming up tomorrow, so make sure you don't miss it. I'm looking out at the defense, and I got backers crowding the line. I'm going to call an audible and get on out of here. Tune in tomorrow for more Pigskin Dispatch. If you want to get contact us, we're at pigskindispatch@gmail.com, and we'll see you tomorrow, folks. We encourage you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, and hit us up on the email, pigskindispatch@gmail.com. See us on Twitter and Facebook, too, and subscribe to this podcast. We'd love to hear from you.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Offices of the Pittsburgh Guardian newspaper circa 1924. But for Marla Delft, assistant editor, everything was about to change. For she was about to discover the awesome attractiveness of Row One brand retro sports paraphernalia items thanks to Orville Mulligan, sports writer.
And there it is.
Wow, Orville, that's really the bee's knees.
Isn't it just? A poster-sized replica of the actual 1909 World Series program cover.
I can see that. But where did you get it? And where'd you get it framed?
I ordered it from the Row One website, where over 6,000 items of sports memorabilia from the 1880s to the 1990s are available for reproduction in multiple sizes and in several different materials, with over a dozen styles of frame to choose from for prints like this.
Well, I'm sure Mr. Delft would love to put up more of these in the office. But I'm equally as sure they're beyond this newspaper's budget.
Not at all, my dear Marla. See for yourself. Go to sportshistorynetwork.com/row1.
sportshistorynetwork.com/row1. Oh, my. These are good prices. Oh, and look at this stuff. Oklahoma-Nebraska football. College basketball art. Michael Jordan items.
And so it was that Violet Delft discovered the splendiferous magic of Row 1 sports memorabilia arts and prints. You can, too, by visiting sportshistorynetwork.com/row1. That's ROW number 1 today for access to the full Row 1 catalog of gallery prints and gifts like t-shirts, long-sleeve shirts, telephone cases, coffee mugs, blankets, pillows, towels, and even shower curtains. Act today for 15% discount off all prints with coupon code SHN15 and 20% off all other items with coupon code SHN20 at checkout. And keep your dial locked to the Sports History Network for the exciting chronicles of the 1920 sports world in Orville Mulligan, sports writer, coming soon.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that, Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts. It's found right here on the Sports History Network.